Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenor Mudu. Welcome to the show. It is Health Chat, and it is the holiday season. Time to celebrate with big dinners and family gatherings. It is also a time that can be tough for some people, those who suffer from food allergies. Food allergies, an immune system reaction that occurs soon after eating a certain food, leading to symptoms such as digestive problems, hives, or swollen airways. In some people, a food allergy can cause severe symptoms or even a life-threatening reaction known as anaphylaxis. According to the World Allergy Organization, 220 to 250 million people may suffer from food allergy globally. The organization says food allergies are increasing in both developed and developing countries, especially in children. We will discuss the subject today, and joining us in the studio to do that is Sherry Torkas. She's a pharmacist, author, and certified fitness instructor. Ms. Torkas, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So food allergy, as I mentioned, it is when you eat something and then your system reacts to it. Can you elaborate a little more so that we can better understand what it is?
Sure. So with a food allergy, as you mentioned, it is the immune system that is reacting, and it's reacting inappropriately. So for a person that has an allergy, some of the most common food allergens would be dairy, wheat, also peanuts, eggs. Those are common allergens. And when you ingest something that has a component of those foods, your immune system treats it like a foreign invader, and it mounts a reaction. And that reaction can be minor. It can cause hives and itching, or it could be significant and life-threatening, as you mentioned, anaphylaxis, which can be a severe medical crisis and lead to death if it's not addressed in right away.
Wow.
So those are food allergies. They are on the rise. They're becoming definitely more common today. And there's some theories about that. It may be due to our overuse of antibiotics and hand sanitizers, and the fact that our bodies are exposed to so many chemicals in the environment, which are affecting our immune system, all the pesticides and hormones and things that we're exposed to, that may be at play. So that is the allergy compared to an intolerance, whereas a food intolerance is something where your body is not able to digest a component of a food. So common food intolerances would be things like intolerances to gluten, lactose, and histamine, which is something that is becoming more common, yet not as well known.
Wow, that's interesting. And even the fact that a food allergy can lead to death, that's very scary.
It can, and that's why people that have allergies, severe allergies, they carry epinephrine with them, mm-hmm. which is an antidote that's used to counter the allergic response. Whereas a person that has a food intolerance, often their symptoms are not severe life-threatening, but they can make them very uncomfortable. If you have an intolerance, for example, to gluten mm-hmm. or lactose, that can cause upset stomach, bloating, gas, diarrhea. Histamine intolerance, though, which is something that is starting to become more commonly known, histamine intolerance can cause both the gastrointestinal symptoms, so the gas, bloating, diarrhea, but it can also cause headaches, rash, racing heart, insomnia, mm-hmm. your blood pressure can shoot up. So histamine intolerance is one of those scenarios where you can have both the digestive problems but also whole body symptoms.
So let's go back a little bit. And histamine intolerance is so interesting when you mention that, because it's something that I haven't heard very much of it. I've heard about lactose intolerance, gluten intolerance, but histamine intolerance. Okay, so let's, again, like I said, let's go back. Let's go step by step. What is gluten intolerance?
So gluten intolerance is, gluten actually is a protein found mm-hmm. in many grains. It's found in wheat, rye, barley, and also commercial forms of oats due to the way they're grown. And a person that has gluten intolerance or celiac disease, their body can't digest the gluten. It acts like a poison. It evokes an immune system reaction and also a local digestive reaction, and it can cause damage to the absorptive surface of the intestine. People can suffer with gas, bloating, diarrhea, or there could be constipation, headaches, and over time it can cause loss of vitamins and minerals. You can become deficient, and it can lead to increased risks of osteoporosis, visual impairment, joint and muscle problems, and a whole lot of other things. So that's gluten intolerance, which is celiac disease, and that affects about 1% of the population.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's quite common, actually. We say 1%, it sounds like a small number, but it's actually more common than type 1 diabetes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and gluten intolerance is something that when I actually have gluten intolerance, I have celiac disease. And when I was diagnosed in the 80s, it was estimated to affect about 1 in 5,000 people. Now we know it affects about 1 in 100.
Wow, that's a big number.
So this is gluten intolerance. And then...
So how... let's focus on you a little bit because you mentioned yourself. So when you are diagnosed with gluten intolerance, what are some of the changes that you make in your diet?
So I had to give up gluten completely. So that means that I don't eat regular breads, pastas, cereals, anything that would have gluten, which is that protein in the grain. So I have to have gluten-free bread, gluten-free cereals. I can eat vegetables and fruits and things like that. Meat, I just can't have anything that has gluten. So no flour, no wheat flour.
So
no
carbs in a way?
A lot of carbs have gluten in them. The ones that are gluten-free are rice, quinoa. Potatoes are also gluten-free. So there are gluten-free options, and it's not so bad to eat gluten-free today. There's good awareness at restaurants and different places about the gluten intolerance. And so it's easy to avoid. And same with people that have lactose intolerance.
Yeah, what is that? That's milk, essentially?
Yeah, milk. Lactose is the sugar that is present in milk. And for a person that can't digest lactose, milk sugar, they get diarrhea and gas when they have dairy. So if they're having cheese or yogurt or milk, they find they get bloated, they get gas, they get diarrhea. And often it's just due to a deficiency of the enzyme lactase. Lactase is the enzyme that breaks down lactose. And so in that case, with a person that has a lactose intolerance, they can take an enzyme before they consume dairy products, and that allows them to be able to eat those dairy products without having all the symptoms.
So the lactose is not the milk, it is the sugar in the milk.
That's right. It's not the protein. So if you, people can have an allergy to milk, but that's usually due to the protein component of the milk. For people that have lactose intolerance, they're reacting to the sugar component.
Okay. Because lactose is a term that we here with regards to nursing mothers when they say lactating or something.
Yeah,
so it has to do with
lactating. Okay. Is when they're lactating, they're producing milk.
Okay.
And lactose is the component in the milk that is the sugar component that someone who can't break it down, they have a deficiency of the enzyme, the lactase.
Okay, now let's move to histamine. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Okay, so histamine, it's a chemical that our body naturally produces in response to allergies. So if you have seasonal allergies or you react to flower pollen or dust or mold or grass, your body releases histamine from your mast cells, a part of your immune system, and it triggers runny nose and itchy, watery eyes and tissue swelling and congestion. And that's unpleasant, but usually it's short term. It's just during allergy season, and people can take antihistamine drugs to counter those effects. So histamine is something our bodies produce, but we can also get histamine in our system through foods and beverages. So there's naturally occurring histamine in certain foods, such as aged meats and cheeses, also dried fruits, nuts, anything that's fermented. So healthy drinks like yogurt and kefir and kombucha, that contains histamines. And also some of the beverages that are fermented, such as wine, beer, and champagne, they contain high amounts of histamines. And if your body can't break down that chemical histamine, it can cause a lot of unpleasant symptoms. You can have headaches or migraine headaches. You can have flushing of your skin, so your skin turns red. Say if you're drinking a glass of wine, you can get redness in the face, headaches, racing heart, high blood pressure. It can cause upset stomach as well, gas, bloating, diarrhea, digestive distress. There can also be tissue swelling in the same way people with allergies react. You can have congestion, runny nose, watery eyes. So histamine, if left unchecked, it can cause a lot of symptoms throughout the body.
Are there cases where a histamine reaction can lead to possible, Dev? I mean, I know it's the extreme. I like to ask this question
Typically. No, not typically.
Okay, but it's just uncomfortable a lot of the time.
It can range from mild to severe.
Okay.
And with a histamine intolerance, same with lactose intolerance, the primary cause of a histamine intolerance having these symptoms is your body is missing an enzyme or doesn't have enough of an enzyme. And in the case of histamine, the enzyme that your system needs to break down histamine, it's called diamine oxidase or DAO. DAO is a little bit easier to say.
Yes.
So DAO is the enzyme that breaks histamine down.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have enough DAO, when you have wine or beer or cheese or aged and cured meats, also dried fruits or yogurt, kefir, those things can make you feel really uncomfortable. So that's histamine intolerance.
So where do you find DAO?
So DAO, diamine oxidase, it's an enzyme that your body produces. In
mm-hmm.
Most of it's produced in the stomach through a type of cell called an enterocyte. So we naturally produce diamine oxidase, but as we get older, especially beyond age 30, we have less of this enzyme available. If you're under a lot of stress,
mm-hmm.
that can deplete your levels. If you have digestive problems like Crohn's disease, colitis, irritable bowel, celiac disease, any of those digestive disorders could mean that your body's not producing enough of that diamine oxidase. So those are common risk factors. There are also genetic deficiencies. So a person may be born with a predisposition to have a deficiency of that enzyme. So those are some of the factors. But the matter of histamine intolerance, really, really a common issue, often goes undiagnosed or misdiagnosed. And in 70% of cases of histamine intolerance, it is due to a deficiency of that enzyme.
Really?
Primary cause. So as with lactose intolerance, the only way to tackle it is either avoid dairy products or take the enzyme supplement.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with histamine intolerance. You have really two options for managing it. You can avoid all high histamine foods, or you can take an enzyme before you eat those foods to
mm-hmm.
help break it down. And you only have to take it 15, 20 minutes before you have those high histamine foods. So with the diamine oxidase, you can find it in capsules, and you take it one capsule 15 to 20 minutes before you have your wine, beer, cheese, pizza, whatever it may be. I say pizza because pizza has several ingredients that have histamines. Pizza has the dough, the bread, which
uh-huh.
has histamines, tomato sauce, which tomatoes have histamine. If you have cheese on it, especially an aged cheese like Asiago or something like that, and then pepperoni, which is a cured meat,
uh-huh.
you're getting like the quadruple threat of histamine.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, so you know, when I'm talking to patients about this issue, and I you know give them the options, you either avoid those foods or you can take the enzyme before
okay.
you eat them. I think most people opt for the enzyme because who's going to give up their favorite foods,
who's gonna
right?
Who's going to give up pizza? Okay.
Yeah, pizza, beer, champagne.
Wine. But some people like those things. You know?
And even the healthy stuff, though, too. Like we're talking about yogurt, kefir,
yeah.
kombucha, even green tea can increase histamines.
Really?
Yeah, green tea,
oh, wow.
chocolate.
That's not good news for me.
Yeah, chocolate and nuts. So it's healthy, a lot of healthy foods. So this is a better way to do it, is to take the enzyme. And you don't have to take it throughout the day. You only take it before you're having your meal or beverage.
So does this mean that it's something you have to take every time you eat?
Ideally, if you're going to be eating foods that have histamines in them, yes. And you have to be careful when you're buying the enzymes, because
mm-hmm.
there's some companies that promote that they have enzymes or products for histamine intolerance, but it doesn't actually contain any of the diamine oxidase. So one that I recommend, it's called Umbrellex, Umbrellex DAO. That's Umbrellux, Umbrellux DAO. That actually has a medical grade enzyme, and it's clinically researched, and it's good quality. So that's what I would suggest looking for. And you can read about it too online. There's a website, daodeficiency.org. It's
okay.
a great informational website for people that want more information on this issue of histamine intolerance.
Thank you so much, Sherry, for all this great information. And we'll continue, because there's so many questions that I have about this whole histamine, and even other aspects of food allergies, food intolerance, things. We'll have more. We have to take a short break. And to our listeners, don't go away. We will have more on the food allergy issue with our guest, Sherry Torkas. Don't go away. It's now time for the news with Imuti Nguyen Ujibe.
According to a new report from the World Bank and World Health Organization, at least half of the world's population cannot obtain essential health services. Currently, 8 million people spend at least 10% of their household budget on health expenses for themselves, a sick child, or other family member. For almost 1 million people, these expenses are high enough to push them into extreme poverty, forcing them to survive on less than $2 a day. The report says there are wide gaps in the availability of services in sub-Saharan Africa and Southern Asia. In other regions, basic health care services such as family planning and infant immunization are becoming more available. But lack of financial protection means increasing financial distress for families as they pay for these services out of their own pockets. U.S. health officials in the United States says as many as 646,000 people are dying globally from seasonal influenza each year. The study by the CDC, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and Global Health Partner was based on the data from a larger, more diverse sample of countries than previously. They say global death rates from seasonal influenza are likely between 291,000 and 646,000 people each year, depending on the severity of the circulating flu strand. That is up from a prior estimate range of 250,000 to about 500,000 deaths. People aged 75 and older and those living in sub-Saharan Africa had the highest rates of flu-associated respiratory death. Eastern Mediterranean and Southeast Asian countries also had high rates of flu-associated respiratory death. The study is published in the medical journal, The Lenza. And that's all for your news today. Lenore, back to you.
Thank you, Imuti Nguyen Ujibe, with the news, and welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing food allergies and food intolerance. Our studio guest is Sherry Torkas. She is a pharmacist, author, and certified fitness instructor. So, Sherry, before the break, we talked about histamine intolerance. So, who is more at risk? Is there such a thing as a certain group, or everyone is equal? It's an equal allergy opportunity.
Well, we do know that there are certain people that are at risk of having histamine intolerance. Age is a factor, so it becomes more prevalent after age 30. And after age 40, it becomes even more prevalent after age 50. So it increases with age. Mm-hmm. We also know that people that have gastrointestinal diseases, mm-hmm. such as celiac disease, Crohn's, colitis, irritable bowel, they are at greater risk of having a histamine intolerance. We also know that environmental factors are at play. Consumption of pesticides, chemicals from the environment, that can possibly play a role here. And also there is a genetic deficiency that has been associated with this. So people that have a genetic deficiency of that enzyme, diamine oxidase, mm-hmm. they're at greater risk of having histamine intolerance.
Okay. And is there a way to diagnose a histamine intolerance?
Yeah, so this is the tricky part. There is no reliable blood test right now to assess this. You can measure a person's blood levels of histamine, but that doesn't always give you an accurate reflection of what's happening in the body, how they're processing that histamine.
Okay.
You would also need to look at the levels of diamine oxidase. But again, what you might test in blood might not be reflective of exactly what's happening. Doesn't always tell you the full picture. So when we look at assessing somebody for histamine intolerance, the best thing to do is either an elimination diet. So have somebody avoid all high histamine foods for a period of time, it could be weeks, and then gradually introduce them back into the diet and see if that triggers a response. Or you can do an enzyme trial. So you would take a trial of the diamine oxidase, the DAO enzymes, before you eat the high histamine foods and see if that makes your symptoms go away. If you feel better, if you don't get the headaches, the hives, the upset stomach, then that would give you a good indication that in fact you had a histamine intolerance.
Oh, wow. Okay. So then let's say someone is not aware that they have the intolerance and maybe they ate something, they're having a reaction. They don't know if it's antihistamine, if it's a histamine intolerance or if it's a lactose intolerance or glucose intolerance. How do you know the difference?
It's good to work with a healthcare professional. Mm-hmm. When it comes to a lactose intolerance, you can do a test. The doctor can, or a laboratory can do a hydrogen breath test, and that can determine whether or not you have lactose intolerance. With celiac disease, now today there is a simple blood test that can be ordered. Your doctor can order a celiac blood test, and that will tell you whether or not you have celiac disease. So you can rule those out because, as you know, we were talking about the symptoms, they do share common symptoms. Both gluten, lactose, and histamine intolerance can all cause upset stomach, gas, bloating, diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
One of the key differences, though, when it comes to looking at the symptoms is that if you are histamine intolerant, not only will you have digestive symptoms, but most likely you'll also have problems with headaches, flushing of the skin, congestion, runny nose. Those are symptoms that are unique for a person that has a histamine intolerance.
Okay. Now, the holiday season is here. What are some of the advice that you will give people about perhaps preventing food allergies or being more aware of what they're eating?
Yeah, so if you suspect you have a histamine intolerance, I mean, this is a tough time of year to be strict on your diet. You
yes,
may want to
exactly.
try the enzyme. I mean, let's face it, who's going to give up, you know, champagne on New Year's Eve or, you know, their pizza and beer? It's not really realistic. You could try the enzyme. Some foods that are naturally low in histamine would be most of your fruits and vegetables, with the exception of tomatoes. So when we're talking fruits, almost all fruits are low in histamine except for tomatoes. Citrus fruits you should also minimize or avoid because they can increase levels of histamine. But yeah, you can have most fruits, most vegetables are low in histamine. The only vegetables that you would want to avoid would be spinach, and there is one other one. I think it's artichokes.
Also,
yeah, I think they're also high in histamine.
Okay.
But almost all other vegetables are fine. Meats, when it comes to choosing meats, chicken is a good one to choose because chicken contains oleic acid, which can increase your DAO levels.
Okay.
So that can be beneficial. Same with olive oil. If you have a histamine intolerance, consuming olive oil daily will help you because it can help to naturally elevate your DAO levels.
Oh, okay. That's great. That's great. Now you are a holistic pharmacist and you not only work in the area of histamine intolerance and food intolerance, but you also work, you cover so many different aspects of, you know, health. So before we let you go, I wanted you to share something with us, perhaps some things that you would like us to know when it comes to holistic medicine or just in general, you know.
Yeah,
it's the holiday season. Perhaps
yeah,
there are some
stay healthy.
Tips.
I mean, for sure, you know, people are surprised when they, you know, hear my philosophy because I am holistically oriented. It doesn't mean that I'm anti-medicine. I think drugs have their place, but I do encourage people when they're facing any kind of health condition, whether it's a food or dietary issue or other conditions such as issues with blood pressure, cholesterol, arthritis, managing menopause or PMS, things like that, to look at some of the natural options first and see if you can get a handle on it before you go to medication. Because with medications, the side effects can be more significant and can lead to other problems. A lot of things can be addressed through diet and lifestyle. So when we look at almost every chronic disease that we face as a society, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, like if we look at the three big ones, there's so much that can be done from a lifestyle perspective to help your health outcomes. Whether or not you take medication, there are still things that you can do to improve your health, such as eating better, exercising, getting enough sleep, managing your stress levels. Those four things alone can improve health, your overall health. So going into the holidays, I point this out because this is a time of year where people get run down. They get sick because they're stressed out. They're not sleeping enough, maybe drinking too much, maybe eating too much. And before you know it, you're feeling miserable. And then you're facing that New Year's resolution.
The big resolution that never gets.
That's right.
Nobody succeed in fulfilling.
Yeah, so get a grip on it now before you get right into the full-blown holiday season and try to make some positive changes now and approach the holidays with some moderation, and then it'll certainly make those New Year's resolutions a little easier.
Oh dear, those New Year's resolutions, I mean, I can attest to how difficult it is to. But anyways, now to touching a little bit on fitness, because you're a fitness instructor, what would you say is like a basic exercise people can do just to get them through? Because not a lot of people, you know, a lot of people hear exercise, they think about pain or I don't have time or it's difficult. Just to whether it's for maintenance or just basic prevention steps that of exercising that someone can add into their routine without taking too much of their time.
Yeah, there's one simple thing that most people can do and it costs nothing, and that's just simply going out for a walk. Wherever you live, you know, there's roads, there's bike paths, there's trails. Getting out there and exercising, as long as you don't have severe back pain or joint pain, even if you do, though, have arthritis, walking is helpful. It lubricates the joints. The exercise improves circulation, blood flow. It doesn't cost anything. Walking is a great way to reduce stress, to help improve your fitness. And I'd encourage people, if you're currently not exercising, even if you just start with 10 minutes a day, it makes a big difference. 10 minutes a day is enough to help lower your blood pressure.
Really?
It's enough to help reduce your stress, improve your sleep, and maintain a healthy body weight. Increase that to 20 minutes a day, and then the benefits are magnified. So simple things. I think, unfortunately, a lot of people think about exercise as, you know, I don't have time, I don't have money. There's a lot of reasons and excuses why we don't do it. Start small, 5 minutes a day walking. Then go to 10 minutes, then 20 minutes. And you can break it up. You could do 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night.
Yes.
That really does add up to big health benefits.
Wow, that's incredible. And we're going to leave it there on these very, very essential tips. And thank you so much. Because again, like you said, people think about exercising and they think about pain. They think about time and everything else. Every other reasons, why not?
That's right.
So I'm glad you gave us reasons why we should do it. And so, Sherry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
for
having me.
You know, we wish you a happy, happy holiday season. And we wish all our listeners to be safe, to eat well, but mind your food and what you pick and choose. And on this note, if you just want to add one more thing.
Yeah, I'll give you my website. It's sherrytorkos.com. It's SHERRYTORKOS. If you check out sherrytorkos.com, I've got a blog there. So you get some more tips and information on what we talked about today.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. That was Sherry Torkos, pharmacist, author, and certified fitness instructor, joining us. And for more on today's show, log on to our website at voanews.com/VOA Health Chat, facebook.com/HealthChatVOA for more. And let's keep the conversation going. I'm your host, Lynn Ormudu in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi and Imutinyan Ujabe for the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day. Happy holidays.